Do you want to get into the Wisconsin thing? Do you have the bandwidth, the time? I mean, that's a long time. That could be a long conversation. Do you want to do that later?
No, we can do it now, man. To be honest, it's one of those things now where you're scrolling through the feed on the toilet or something, and you end up on a page like Sean King, and then you read the caption. You don't even need to see the video. Like, I personally, when I learned about it, I forget how old it is right now, but I still haven't seen the full video. I can't watch it right now, because you know how it ends, and you hear that that Jacob, he will be paralyzed. He's gonna make it, so that's great that he's gonna pull through. But yeah, I haven't been able to watch the video. I've just kept up with it via text and other news sources. But man, and then you take that combined with the shooter up there, and how, I mean, it's super clear how different people are treated by the police, and for people to deny that white supremacy culture exists and that it's infiltrated in the police system and all of our infrastructure, it's just like, there's another, it's so obvious. And for people to deny that or not be as loud as fuck about fighting those inequalities, it's just getting harder and harder to stand on that soapbox for these people. And I know, you know, I'm sure we've all got our different circles of friends and acquaintances and family members that we've had to, that I'm sure they'll say something and that'll be like a flag for that's like, well, I mean, we got to look at the police report too. You know, I mean, hey, police don't just get called out there for nothing. Am I right? And you're like, ooh, you know, that's not what you say. That's all you need to hear, right? That's all you need to hear for you to be like, this person doesn't get it. This person is part of the problem. But yeah, man, I really haven't been able to watch the video. What about you? Have you been having any conversations about it in clinic, out of clinic? Because I'm not in a clinic right now, and this will be the last thing I say. I'm sorry I cut you off. But I can't imagine, like, talking to, you know, Josh Walters. He's the clinic director up there in Dallas. And because in the clinic, people talk and the news gets shared. And he's a black clinic director out there in Dallas. And he's had these conversations with people, tough conversations. And he's got kids coming in with MAGA bracelets and shit. And, like, that's hard. That's super hard for you to be the leader of a clinic out there and dealing with. And you have to physically treat some of these racist folks, because you are a healthcare provider, and he does such a good job at putting that healthcare provider hat on and still being able to have beautiful, tough conversations with some of his patients and people. But yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that. But kudos to him. I don't think I could. I don't think I have that grace to for that. But you know, I haven't been in a busy ass clinic since November of last year, where like stories get shared and you hear people go off the handle, right? So I mean, have you experienced that? I know shit's weird now with COVID, but your thoughts on that?
So there isn't. At our clinic, there hasn't really been a whole lot of dialogue with the cops and racial injustice and things like that. I will get some good COVID deniers here and there, Corona, which in all honesty, this is my opinion. I can understand someone getting a little tired of COVID at this point. I'm not going to completely fault someone for being like, because I'm kind of wearing thin on. I'm like, dude, let's get this shit the hell. Someone figure something out, because this has been going on, and I know vaccines are looking like potentially 2021, yada yada yada. Is it gonna come back up? That's not what we're talking about. So I don't completely fault someone for being like, I'm getting tired of COVID. Ranting. Yeah. We have had discussions in the clinic about between clinicians about it. And it's, I don't know, this is an easy topic to discuss, obviously, right? It's just, no. It just rolls off the tongue. It's just so easy and fluid.
Yeah. It's the hardest. It's the hardest conversation to have.
Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but something that comes to my brain is like, remember that Ahmaud Arbery guy, right? Like that almost feels like that almost feels like 2 years ago at this point,
right? That's the crazy. The crazy thing is that, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, all that was this year, right? All that was this year, and the thing it continues to happen. It continues to, like a sadistic joke, right? This shit continues to happen. It continues to happen worse. Like, black people, like, I can't think of an activity or non-activity that a black person has done while getting shot by the police, right? You could be sitting in the armchair of your apartment watching TV, shot. You could be a kid with a toy gun, shot. You could be listening to loud music in your car, shot. Like, there's pretty much... It's been, everything has been fucking done. Like
Yeah. The medic, you said her name earlier, right? I assume that's her name, right? Name. I feel like that story should get more coverage, which it doesn't. That is just someone. When I heard that story, I honestly don't think that cops should be able to do a no-knock raid. I think that's the term or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if they should be able to do that, because that's gonna do some crazy. That's gonna lead to some pretty probably bad things.
I don't know all the laws. I'm not educated enough on all the laws or even her case, right? Because it's one of those things where you hear just enough about it, and you're like, ah, shit. Well, I can't read more on that story today, because my bandwidth is kind of low. I know the gist of it. I know how fucked up it is. It's all that systemic issue. I'll come back and read more about that case later. And there's so many cases like that. But it speaks to that problem of when you see people, talking bad about the protesters, or even at the RNC convention, right? There's this thing going around where Mike Pence, everybody's favorite vice president, said, so-and-so, this police officer was murdered during the riots in Oakland. Did you hear about this?
I did not, no.
Yeah, and he said that in the RNC speech. And while it's true, this police officer was murdered by a white supremacist, nowhere near the riots or something like that. It was... The Daily Show did a great piece on it. It was just how Mike Pence is good at not lying, but mixing up those words, right? Trevor Noah from The Daily Show said, that's like saying Bruce Lee was killed during the Vietnam War, right? He just happened to die during the Vietnam War. What's going on, right? So it's when you have toxic language like that, mixed with white supremacy culture, mixed with uneducated people that don't know enough about the cases, it's you just make it that much easier for them to look at the protesters as violent, as dumb, dumb libtards, right? Dumb Black Lives Matter libtards. But, and then we get into that conversation of defunding the police and how do you go about change? Because we know systemically it's broken. And I know Trace shared a Sam Harris podcast that I know he was listening to. And we're going to discuss, because I know Sam Harris has some thoughts about this that some people like. And from one of the stuff that he was saying in that podcast, it was like, you know, even though, you know, I haven't listened to it all, so I can't really speak on it too much. But people would say like, all right, well, you know, for the protesters, don't burn everything down, right? Don't fucking go, you know, just burn everything down because you're mad. But then the counterpoint to that is, well, the police, the government, everything was built with white supremacy at the root of it. The whole system is designed, right? That the system isn't broken. It's working perfectly, right? That's the argument to, I think, you know, people, the arguments that Sam Harris and people like that bring up is that the system is inherently working this way. It was built this way. So the fact that people are ready to burn it down and take their country back, or take a country that their ancestors helped build through slavery, like that, it's actually appropriate, right? There's beautiful quotes on protesting and violence being a language of the unheard, right? That's how you have a voice when your voice has been stamped out. So, try explaining that in clinic, right? When you're working with somebody doing like, and Grandma Johnson's like, why am I doing these clams? Also, can you believe those Black Lives Matter people? And then you as a therapist, like as a white therapist, right? You have to be like, well, actually, I mean, the problem's systemic. And I mean, the system is kind of built that way, right? I mean, like, you know, there's been 400 years of slavery and 200 years of segregation. So, I mean, like, you know, so like, these are such hard conversations to have. And we know this from like, how do you convince somebody that physical therapy works? How do you convince somebody that they should exercise? People have to be in a certain frame of mind in order for them to create behavioral change. And most of the time, we're not going to get that from a Facebook post or a one-off convo. So as long as I can continue to plant seeds of people in people's heads, even if it's something as simple as Josh Walters up there in Dallas being a Black clinic director, helping a MAGA hat wearing teenager improve his tennis elbow condition, at least he sees like there's a Black person that fucking helped me get back to sport and he was cool. So maybe that changes my perspective a little bit, but you know, those are just some random thoughts that I yelled out unprepared. But I think the biggest point is that the system isn't broken. The system's working perfectly. So how do you reconcile that?
So Sam Harris was more on the edge of like the traditions and history of this country kind of been built on the white, I don't want to say white supremacy, but you know, that's kind of an easy quick term on that. So he was kind of more on that end.
Well, I can't remember. I know he was let's not even use his name because I didn't finish the episode, but it's the argument from some people that's like, hey guys, stop protesting, right? Mm-hmm. There's COVID going on. Stop protesting. Why are you breaking shit? Why are you burning shit down? You know, but that's the language of the voiceless. That's the language of the oppressed. When your representative doesn't look like you, and the districts have been gerrymandered to ensure that you don't have a voice, and all of the systems in politics, in the school systems, in segregation have ensured that people like you, people that look like you, people your socioeconomic status don't have any voice, don't have any power in government. Don't you think y'all should burn that shit down? Get a voice? Like what the fuck do you want them to do? Spend 100 years trying to get their people in office, trying to raise capital to buy some legislators? Or should we fucking take some shit by force? Because that's our only card. And by the way, they're murdering us still. right?
Yeah. Something that I've been like just kind of juggling in my head consistently is somewhere along when all this started, I started getting on online and looking up debates about systemic racism and whatnot. And I forget the names of these people, but it's all that like, it's all those people that I'm all into, like, what are they called? Like the dark web. It's not the dark web. It's all those people like Sam Harris, Joe Rogan.
QAnon.
People that, no. Yeah, QAnon, right? No. It's all those people that are willing to sit down and have very difficult conversations,
yeah,
right, about things. And even though they might disagree with each other. So there's apparently this one professor. I could be wrong. I need to look up his name. There's a professor at Harvard that is a African-American male, and he argues against systemic racism. And let me see if I can find his name. Anyhow, let me finish this thought, and then I'll try to – because I want to hear your opinion on it. He says this. He says something along the lines of this. He says, it doesn't matter. He said, there's this thing called a first generation immigrant. And he says, it doesn't matter if you take this, and what you do is you take this first generation immigrant, and you put them, they do studies where they put them in the same neighborhood, the same socioeconomic class, the same school systems, the same government, local government, everything like that. You take these two people and you take a person, a family or a person that's been here for decades and years or century or whatever, and you have them with the first generation individual. And it doesn't matter whether that first generation is Polish, white people living in this. It doesn't matter if they're Hispanic, whatever. It doesn't matter if they're African American. The people that are the first generation and their neighbors, right? The people that are the first generation immigrants tend to be much more successful than their counterpart. They have less incarceration, pretty much anything, right? They don't go to jail as often. They have a higher education and make more money, yada yada yada. So what he argues is, due to that fact that you can place two individuals in the same atmosphere, one of them being a first generation person and they look the same, there isn't this systemic racism or systemic problem. And I presented that to Kwesi, who, for the record, is a first generation immigrant, and his family's from, oh, Jared, you're going to have to help me where they're from. They are from,
I forget which country.
Yeah. It's definitely not Nigeria. It's not Nigeria. Yeah. It's I think it's one of the more northern countries.
Is it
countries.
Ghana? What is
it? It might be Ghana. It might be Ghana. And then you know the UC Logic, right?
Yeah. Oh, she should. I was just thinking. I wish she was here right now to educate us.
Right.
Yeah.
So I presented this to Kwesi, and I said, what do you think about that? You know, were you kind of, what was your upbringing with that? And he said, do you think there's systemic racism? Do you not think that? What do you think? And he said, well, you're right, that I was raised with my family being like, you aren't part of that. I almost think of it visually, like a metaphor, like a systemic. He said, they taught me, and I think UC Logic said the same thing. He said, they taught me that there is this systemic racism thing going on, and you're not part of that. There's this river, right? The mighty Mississippi River of systemic racism and systemic problems going on that is happening here. And I don't mean to put his words, this is how I interpreted it. And I could have, but I think the overall gist, and he says, what they taught me is we are not part of that systemic thing, or you're from Ghana, right? You're not this, you're somebody else. You're from outside of this. So you don't go get in that river. You're from here. You're not part of, and it looks like people that have been here for centuries. So Kwesi said, it's not that there isn't systemic racism. He said there is. Really what's going, what it's like, he flipped the argument the other way. He said, no, there is. And what we are taught, what I was taught growing up, is to stay as far away from that as you can, because there is this thing going on and you need to do double. You need to work double as hard. You need to work double to stay away from it, to not get caught up in that, because I feel like UC Logic kind of had, her parents kind of had that same thing of like, it's not that systemic racism, that whole research doesn't prove that systemic racism doesn't exist. What it shows you is that those first generation people recognize that something's going on, and they try to pull their children as far away from it as possible.
Yeah. And I don't know that professor. First off, we'll have to look at the studies, right, to see if the studies were actually valid, reliable, and all that stuff.
Right.
Just how we do with physical therapy literature for all you nerds out there. Just the fact that people like Kwesi, people like UC have to, you know, utter the words that our parents told us we have to work twice as hard because we look the way we do. That right there tells you there's systemic racism. That's how it works. And for people to argue that there isn't systemic racism or have research on it, you can't argue with the fact that a certain population wasn't allowed the right to vote until X date. If that's not systemic racism, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know how you have research that says we brought these people over as slaves. So not even first generation immigrants. They were fucking slaves. We brought them over as fucking slaves. We kept them as slaves. Raped them, beat them, killed them, sold them. And then they had the nerve to want to be free. So then we structured our government in a way to keep them subservient and lock them up and not let them read and arrest them and not let them marry people that look like us. You know, then we had Jim Crow, and then we figured out ways to imprison them. You in the prison industrial complex, right? There's the fact that this, so I don't know that researcher, but the fact that we're not even talking about as ground zero being first generation immigrants. We're talking about first generation slaves.
Right.
So I don't know if their literature talked about that. I would say, I don't know. I mean, you know, anybody that wants to come against the fact that there is systemic racism and sexism in America, we gotta pick apart that research pretty clearly, because the evidence is right there in the Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, in the government articles, in the gerrymandering of states, and all that stuff. So that's what I gotta say about that.
I mean, I think
that's people try to be neutral, right? I think some well-meaning white people try to be neutral. And they try to present the arguments on both sides, but it ultimately comes up like they're being complicit because they aren't educated enough. They try to present it like it's a fucking manual therapy CPG, right? They try to present it like we're looking at plantar fasciitis, right? Like, oh, it says exercise and manual therapy works, right? And it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that, you know.
Yeah.
And again, also there's more, like, I'm just rambling. We're just rambling here on a Sunday. Like, if you're a listener and you want to learn more about this, there's plenty of like, email us. We can give you resources from PhD candidates on the Black experience in America, on racism, sexism, segregation, slavery, like all that stuff. There's books and shit you can read. If you're trying to learn more about this, you need to go somewhere else. We're just shooting the shit right now. So let me just preface that. Hopefully I'm doing a good enough job in pointing you to direction, but sorry, what were you saying?
I kind of had a few things, but it's always good to look for that kind of stuff. And it reminds me of our podcast with UC Logic, where she kind of threw out a few things.
Yeah, one of the books, Savage Inequalities, that talks about inequality in academia. I got to read that book. I just actually purchased it on Audible. But sorry, nice. I didn't cut you off again. Shout out to sponsor the podcast. are you a white person trying to learn more about the Black experience in America? Well, use coupon code DuckLegs.
Audible coupon, DuckLegs.
Audible coupon code, yeah. Sorry.
Just if someone out there, like the two people that listen.
Yeah.
The person I was referring to, Coleman Hughes.
Coleman Hughes, that's the professor?
Yeah, and I looked on his Wikipedia page, and my memory might be, he went to Columbia. I think he's a professor at Harvard or something, but I could have just totally made that up. But there's a guy, there's a ongoing debate with this. I believe he has a debate with Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah.
Ta-Nehisi Coates. I might be saying his name incorrectly. And they have a really, really good debate on things. And that guy brings up some points that you are making.
Yeah, Coates is excellent.
God, you know, it's so hard. Look, I go with the flow of people around me. If I grew up in a community where, like, no one, my parents' parents weren't able to vote, and my uncles, my two uncles and my grandfather were both incarcerated because we had no money, and we've been in this system for many, many years. And by the way, my grandparents weren't allowed to vote, and my parents technically were allowed to, you know, when were African Americans allowed to vote? But even if they were allowed to vote, that would be like the first generation that was allowed to vote, and they probably weren't all the way well practiced with it, so they probably missed the first, you know, 5 years worth of voting. I know exactly what I would do. I'd honestly fall into the and do the same thing. If all my friends around me were like strapped up every day because that's what you do, guess what I would be? I'm not too proud to be like, oh, I would just leave my friends behind and I would move away and I would say, screw them. No, I'd probably do the exact same thing that they were doing. I'd do the exact same thing that my uncles, and it's so just to say, I just feel like it's very difficult for, I do feel like it's difficult for someone to be like, oh, they, like what you're alluding to earlier, like, what do you want them to do? To just wait 100 years and hope that things can just quickly get better? Like, it's
No,
I was done with it.
I'm saying,
I like to finish my sentences with like just a little bit like of it.
Give him a little teaser. That's the Tennessee draw that everybody loves. Big fans here. And I would, you know, I'd say you're a great ally for the Black community. I would say, and you just did an excellent job of sympathizing and trying to empathize, trying to put yourself in those shoes, right? Which also you're good at because you're a therapist and you know how to connect and empathize with people. And even though somebody's coming to you with a knee surgery, total knee arthroplasty, you've never experienced that, but you can do a good job of like, I bet that motherfucker hurts a lot to bend, and I can fucking empathize with that. Side note, which I still don't fucking get that there are PTs out there that can't understand the pain of the Black Lives Matter movement and shit, but yet they can treat somebody's fucking total knee, you know? But also we have to say that, you know, there are aspects of that total knee surgery that you'll never be able to understand and feel and appreciate. Just like, you know, you, again, we're just shooting the shit here on a Sunday. There are aspects of even that quick little paragraph that you just went off with of, hey, if I was Black and if I was born in the 1870 and shit, and I was trying to fight for the right to vote back then, you know, even it's a great thought experiment, but like you still, there's no way that you can know. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so refreshing when you hear people that aren't Black or that aren't part of an oppressive group that just say, hey, I understand that. I'll never be able to understand. Like, I'm an ally for you. Like when we respond to those of another ethnic group or women, like, hey, like, I have no idea what it's like to experience sexism. I believe it's a thing. I'm an ally here for you, or for the LGBTQ T community. So I think also too, we just gotta come at that with a little bit of respect, a lot of respect, right? Because we can sympathize, but we probably truly can't empathize, right? Because it's a human right issue. It's a human right issue. These people that we talked about that historically grew up without the right to vote, they were slaves. This is an issue of being looked at as subhuman, right? This is more than just they're treating us bad. They're not letting us get milkshakes at the bar. Let's do a sit-in. No, these people are being treated like fucking subhuman, right? Whether it's all of those different groups, oppressed groups that we talk about, it's an issue of being treated subhuman, and that's what the fight is about. And you know, we joked earlier, like if one of our earlier podcasts, like if an alien race came down and they just enslaved us, right? Like what would you do? Like you'd want to fight back. You'd want to, no, you guys can't just come here and fucking enslave us and make all these new rules. Like, you would fight back because you knew that these are human rights violations going on. So if you look at through the lens of human rights violations and treating people as subhuman, you'd be like, yeah, we should probably change shit. Oh, the game is rigged, so we can't change shit? We should probably do something about that. However, by any means necessary. You know? But yeah, some more thoughts on that?
I wonder... Part of me, that was great, by the way. Good job, Jared.
I took a few classes.
The riots in LA, I get worried. Not worried. Worried's not the right word. The riots in LA with Rodney King happened
way back.
After there was no conviction. I wonder how things are going to be a year from now, right? If Derek Chauvin, that's the George Floyd officer that I'm referring to. What if he's found completely innocent? I wonder what's going to happen then. Right. By the time his trial comes around, who knows how many more cases have been brought to light. But I wonder what's going to happen then.
Also, we've seen this isn't new. Right. George Zimmerman got off murdering Trayvon Martin. Like this again, this isn't new. Breonna Taylor's killers still haven't been arrested. Like guess what? He probably won't go to jail because that's just how shit goes. In a system that's designed to work perfectly for the people it's built for. So yeah, I mean, they'll probably continue to be outrage. But I mean, it's just the system. It's the criminal justice system that is built that way. And it's not new. When people that, deserve to go to jail, don't deserve to go to jail because white supremacy. But, yeah, that's fucked up as it is.
Right. That's such a mind shift to think you're like, oh, the system's broken, you know, and you're like, no, no, no. The machine is operating.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. Very well. Very
that
well.
That is, it's honestly something I don't know if I've really thought about that too much. I think I've heard it before, but I haven't really digested it well enough.
It's one thing to hear it. Like we all hear it, but like until you start like actually seeing it play out in real life, like over and over again. And this year has been a year to watch it happen. Everything from how the Trump administration has handled COVID to, you know, literally anything to the police brutality and murders. You're like, oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's built like this. Like the Electoral College exists for a reason. Like we don't have rank-based voting system for a reason. Counties are gerrymandered for a reason. Like all this shit isn't. It's not. It's by design.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Why the fuck don't they teach us more about taxes and shit in elementary school? Right. Why is there a certain? You know, I'm getting off. I'm kind of getting in the woods now, but still, point stands.
Right. Maybe I'm 32 at this point.
And you look great.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I still have a pretty anti-authoritarian mindset.
Yeah.
I very much believe.
You've had some run-in with the cops. I've heard these stories. Yeah. I've heard the privilege there.
Yeah. We'll have to do that one time. I've got my license now, so I could probably disclose some of the stuff. Totally have had some privilege, huge amounts of privilege. Have we shared that story on air?
We haven't. Yeah, I don't know if you want to. I was just, you know, when you're ready, feel free.
Yeah, maybe one day. But I very much believe that there is a system in place with the oligarchy, right? The stacks, the cards are stacked against the common man, the gerrymandering, the idea of not trying to educate an individual out of situation.
Class warfare.
This might not be true, but you know, so we're like defunding the police. So we took a little bit of money away in Austin from the police force. At our clinic, there's a patient that said, they said that they were a 911 caller. And they said, you know what happened was, I used to work for the city of Austin. Now, or I used to work for the Austin Police Department, right? Now I work for the city of Austin. And those funds that were going to the police just got transferred over to the city of Austin. So it's really not a defunding of the police. It's just a changing of your title and the paycheck, and we're all in the same building, and I just get paid by a different company now, and that company actually got more money. The company that used to go to you guys, it's the same thing. It's a six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's like, and maybe that's not true. That's all hearsay. Worth looking into.
Yeah. It's the old quote, like people in power will do anything to retain the power or whatever. Right? It goes by that. So yeah, not saying that that's related, you know, who knows, you know, how the defunding of the police in Austin actually goes down. But yeah, it's that thing. I don't know enough about that story. I know that there was a victory in defunding the police to a certain extent, but yeah, I mean, that's just like a victory on paper, when in actuality the funds continue to get diverted. But I mean, yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, I know the thought behind all those movements is like, hey, if we put those funds a little bit more upstream into like community-based shit, into mental health services, into public housing, you decrease the need for excessive police violence and resources and fucking tanks and whatever badass police Rambo shit that you'll need. So hopefully it's a win. Yeah, we'll see, man. Yeah. To be determined out here. It's funny hearing all the people again, like when that measure was passed, all the people that were like, oh my God, I'm going to be so afraid now. Austin's going to be so unsafe. All these people are going to be, all these cats meowing in the background are going to come after me, and there's going to be no police protecting me in the city of Austin. But yeah.
Yeah, they have tanks. They have
they tanks. Got tanks. Oh, is it Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, right.
You got 3 stars out here, cheat code. You need some tanks coming at you here in Austin. Left, right, up, down, left, right, L1, R1.
You got to remember all those, man. Vice City, you know, yeah. San Andreas.
That's right.
I don't favorite, really play video
favorite,
games.
Favorite Grand Theft Auto?
The one I probably played the most. Oh, actually, like Grand Theft Auto 4. I think that was the one with that's the Vice Russian City? Guy. No, Vice. I think that, no, that was... that was technically Grand Theft Auto Vice City. That Vice City was the fourth one, but that was Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Then it went San Andreas, and then they went Grand Theft Auto 4 with the Russian guy, and then Grand Theft Auto 5 with Michael, and then there was the crazy white guy that like lived. Probably Grand Theft Auto 5.
Cool.
Grand Theft Auto.
Cool.
Do you have a favorite one?
I like San Andreas. Yeah.
San Andreas. That was pretty. Speaking of the riots of LA, they lived that one out in San Andreas.
I never got to finish the game, but I was being in the 90s hip hop in a video game was pretty dope to experience that. Yeah.
Yeah. They set the whole city on fire there. Anyhow.
Anywho.
Boy.
I'm
glad that we had this conversation.
Fun topics here to discuss.
I feel like people can benefit from this.
Yeah.
Shout out to the year 2150 on ABC.
Yeah, still listening. Still listening 2050. We'll still be recording. We'll still be dropping shit.
Yeah, oh, man, for sure.
So here's this quote on writing real quick, and then we'll wrap up. April 14th, 1967. Isn't it crazy to think about the year 1967? And like, shit, if we would have been alive then. All right, this is MLK at Stanford. Gave a speech entitled The Other America. And if you want to see this in Instagram format, go to So You Want to Talk About, and they have some really good shit on there. So you want to talk about rioting in the words of MLK. He said, I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? And the Wi-Fi goes out. No, it has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delays. And as long as America postpones justice and we stand in the position of having these reoccurrences of violence and riots over and over again, social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. You know? So basically, it's like if Jacob Blake was a cute little white kid and 5 black police officers just ran up on his shit and shot him the fuck down, how many angry ass white mothers would we have getting pissed? How many Karens would speak out? And how many MAGA hat wearing people would want those fucking nooses drawn from the trees to hang those black police officers, right? It's that old quote from that movie, right? Now imagine that little boy is white, right? We need that same loudness from white America on these issues to support these human rights violations that's being made by the police and the systemics. So that's, you know, we touched on that. That's a beautiful fucking quote. It's almost like MLK, who's a public speaker for a living. it's almost like he knew what he was talking about. But yeah, man, go look at that quote and how much of a fucking how big he was on the poor, right? Because this is about poverty too. This is about socioeconomic status. This ain't just about racism. It's about class, right?
And that's MLK, not Malcolm X, right?
It's MLK.
That's the
least frightening of the black figures in history that white people are least afraid of. So
yeah,
whenever they go to quote MLK, it's like, motherfucker was a socialist, right? Probably shouldn't call MLK a motherfucker on a podcast, but hey, we're keeping it loose here.
I think
he'd that in a term of endearment. He might
dap you up, yeah. Term of endearment.
Just like that episode on the Boondocks when they brought back MLK. Go watch that.
I have not seen that. I should watch that.
That's homework. You had Savage Inequalities, all these great books on racism, and then you have the Boondocks as well, which great fucking TV show. Jesus, that's amazing. Yeah, gotta go watch some Boondocks. But all right, we just fixed racism. You're welcome.
Easy.
Next.
Easy.
Like we go Alex Jones at the end. I tell you, it's all bullshit. See, the problem with black people in America is they're too good at dancing.
Too much rhythm.
Too much rhythm. I say, why do they cook so good? That's one day we'll do a good bit. One day we'll do a funny bit. I think it's kind of hard to be funny right now, but I'm trying to be super satirical.
That's good.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's one thing. There's two things that I'm not good at: cooking and dancing.
Yeah, so, and we know why.
We know why. All right, Jared.
Oh, hey.
If these listeners want to reach out to us, don't even fucking think about it.
Don't even. We're too busy.
Too busy. We're
too far too busy for you. No, or you can hit us up at ducklegspodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. Go in those Instagram DMs. Find a way to reach out to us. Hit us up, man. We're always ready to talk some bullshit. Fight the power. Fight the power.